You're listening to Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio is a radio ministry of Megiddo Media. For more, visit our website at MegiddoRadio.com. That's MegiddoRadio.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. This is Paul Flynn with Megiddo Radio for the 8th of October, 2018. Thank you all for tuning in. And on tonight's program, we're going to be finishing off what we were talking about last Saturday, and I'm not sure, and I probably think that there won't be any program on Saturday or Friday. We're going to try and figure out a schedule over the next couple of weeks, and we'll see what works. And the reason I wanted to do today's program mainly was just there was a number of different issues from the last program that were not dealt with, especially Tim Keller's response to the SJNG or the Statement on Social Justice and the Gospel. Now, I've gone through the Statement on the Social Justice and the Gospel, and I've signed it. My name still hasn't appeared on the website. I think it takes a while for it to go through, but I have signed it, and I'd encourage other people to do so too. Read it, meditate upon it, pray about it, and I don't normally go for these kind of things, and I've seen other people do the same thing, that they wouldn't normally sign these kind of documents. Often these documents can be quite vague and maybe poorly worded at times. This is really well worded. I don't know exactly who the initial architects were. I know there was the initial signers and stuff like that. I think Justin Peters and James White. I think James White was heavily involved in it. And Phil Johnson, other people. I don't know who exactly were the writers of it. But it was really well put together, and I think especially in this day and age when there's a lot of confusion about this issue, that it speaks incredibly clearly to this issue. So, but sadly, this program, I don't know, in some ways I don't even know what I'm going to call this program, but it's going to deal with, you could say, strife within the church, judging people's motives, which obviously we're all guilty of at different times. And when I'm going to be looking at Timothy Keller's comments in a second on the social justice, the Statement on Social Justice and the Gospel. It's, look, I know when people talk about Timothy Keller, it's usually some people have very strong opinions on him. There's a wolf in sheep's clothing, all this kind of stuff. And I'm going to go, whoa, let's take a step back just a second. The man, first of all, let's start off with some facts here. The man's a pastor, ordained minister in the PCA. I think he's retired now. I'm not too sure exactly from his pastor, but an ordained man, somebody who was ordained by God, or ordained within the church, and we got to respect that. Okay, that's number one. And unless you be very careful when we call people wolves in sheep's clothing and all this, does the person preach a false gospel or give us clear indication they do not belong to God? Give an example. Just say there was someone who was constantly teaching false doctrine, undermining the deity of Christ and all this kind of stuff. You would say that that man was a wolf in sheep's clothing, clearly demonstrating by his fruit that he hates Christ while claiming to from the pulpit and things like this. Then there are other cases of people we don't know. And when we don't know, we should leave it alone. What do? Deal with their positions. And let the church courts do what the church courts have to do. Now, we may get frustrated that the courts won't come to the conclusion we come up with, but that's not our call. Okay? If there's anything I've learned over the last couple of years and various instances, we're not always right in our calls, and that's why you have discipline. It should be in the hands of the elders. I'm a Presbyterian, so I believe that, you know, the session, and then you have wider body of elders in the presbytery, and then a wider body of elders in the synod. And for example, right now I'm in theological college, you know, that's seminary to you guys in America, that I'm under the care of the presbytery. I was actually listening to R.C. Sproul. Well, R.C. Sproul's not with us anymore. He's with the Lord now, but I was listening to Renewing Your Mind the other day, and R.C. was recording from, I can't remember, was it a lecture or was it a sermon or something like that, but he was talking about how he was licensed. Same thing, I think, whatever denomination he was trained in. And he was also under the care of his presbytery. What are we getting at here? Basically, we're to be under the care of, why? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. For they watch for your soul. They, and this is not our responsibility. Unfortunately, when we, in, you know, my case, got, you know, media, we get a radio, we get a films, whatever else is on the internet, and then there's other websites that may have a similar focus and whatever. And often we think we must be the last man standing, the watchman on the tower and all this kind of stuff, and we must make sure that these people are exposed. No. We should do critiques when appropriate. If something's public, if something is a danger to the church, but try and leave the, whatever their motivations behind that is, and the state of their heart, or whatever else it is. What I'm saying is, with Timothy Keller, let's just deal with this one incident. Because I know with him, he's obviously got a lot of baggage. He says some silly things on Twitter. And I'm trying to deal with him purely as this man is a pastor. This is only the second time I've dealt with Timothy Keller. I've been meaning to do critiques on his books and stuff like that, but really haven't really got around to it. Maybe I will over the next couple of years. However, usually I find the criticisms or the critiques of him in certain areas haven't been balanced, at least the ones I've seen. So, but I've been really disappointed by the comments that he made about this. And it, again, we're going to look at this, and we're also going to look later on in the program about the whole controversy, not the controversy, but about certain internet ministries jumping to conclusions about John MacArthur and this NBR Proclaim 19 conference, which, just listen to the end of the program. I'm going to go through that later, that thing that's taking place in March of 2019. It's in Arnhem? Is that how you pronounce it? People in California are going to say, no, that's not how you pronounce it. Anyway, so Proclaim 19, and I'm just going to go through that. Cecil Andrews of Take Heed Ministries, he's based in actually Northern Ireland, where I'm currently living, and he contacted Phil Johnson, and Lord willing, this will help people just realize what's going on. Anyway, let's deal with Timothy Keller, the comments made by him, and I don't know what this is at. This was played, this was posted by Pulpit and Penn, and this was also played in The Dividing Line. This is some recording of him responding to a question about this statement on social justice and the gospel. And if you want more information about that, I would go to their website.
They've got technical terms for it. They talk about, in other words, you could say, I love the way you look. And that may be perfectly true, but it depends on what you're trying to do. Under certain circumstances, that could be a rather... It could be a kind of coercive statement. So in other words, there's what it says isn't true, and then what is it trying to do? So when I go through there, if you go really, really strictly, I think just about anybody would take about 80% of it.
Okay, just a comment, because there's a lot of things he's saying here. So, okay, well, I might agree with what he's saying, but what is it trying to do? How can we go there? How can we examine? For example, we may examine, say, in our churches or something like that, we might go, well, this guy he's being nice to me, but I know what he's doing. He's trying to manipulate me. He's trying to trick me. Do you realize how fast... Do you realize how ugly that's going to get? Thinking like that? See, it's thinking like that that eventually becomes out in public and people act it out. And what happens after that? Then people start slandering other people because they have bitterness against someone else. Here's what I'm saying. It is so dangerous to start attributing motives to somebody's behavior. You disagree with them on a certain issue? Fine. Deal with it on the issue. But what do? We don't do that, unfortunately. We don't. We attribute motive. In order to say, no. Okay, what he's saying is fine, but here's what he's doing. And look, we're all guilty of it, varying degrees. But it is sinful. It's wrong, and it needs to be pointed out. Again, he's talking about the statement of social justice and the gospel, which said in the first part, what was it? We deny that the postmodern ideology is derived from intersectionality, radical feminism, and critical race theory are consistent. We deny it are consistent with biblical teaching.
You say, yep. And then there's even some places you really push, and you say, I kind of see why they would say that. It depends on how they define church and things like that. But in the end, what concerns me most about it is not so much what it's saying, but what's trying to do.
Not what it's saying, what it's trying to do. Not what it's saying. So what it's saying is fine. I'm just going by what he's saying, and I shouldn't attribute motive to it. Obviously, we have to be so. If you're a leader within the church, and people look to you, and he's written a lot of books over the years, people will be influenced by Timothy Keller. People will be influenced by. And look, it doesn't matter how big your church is or whatever. If you've been ordained by the church, you are in the highest, the most important job in the land. Timothy Keller's from the United States. He has a higher calling than Donald Trump. We don't take the pastorate seriously enough. It's not like that the person is amazing and everything else like that. No, it's what the position entails. It's proclaiming and declaring and heralding and illustrating and teaching and explaining and expositing and God's holy word. It's God's decree explained. And when you're put into that position, that authoritative position, more is demanded of that person. And what kind of division do you place within the body of Christ? If we disagree with people, and we can, and it's healthy, by the way, to say, you know what, can we just get together and talk about our differences in eschatology or whatever else? Let's just talk before we start. Because people can't talk. People can't disagree, and of course they're of serious issues, but unless there can be some discussion, if all we do, whatever issue it is, we just attribute motive, is there going to be any communication? No. What is there going to be? War. Nothing but war. Nothing but lobbing grenades. In James chapter 3, Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And this poison is dangerous. And actually, or the whole theme of this program today is going to be talking against seeking strife. And we've got to be extra careful because of the internet. Extra careful because this stuff gets spread around, and before you know it, it's not just the room that's hearing your comments, it's thousands of people.
And what I fear is, and I think they may be responding to some sins on the other side, is at this point I feel that the Christian church is being, because our country is so polarized politically, that increasingly the church is becoming an extension of the various political parties. So I've said this before, I may say it again. If you talk about the evangelical church, for example, there's now becoming a red evangelicalism and a blue evangelicalism. It's almost,
I don't know what he means by this, because blue evangelicals supporting the Democrat Party who believe in murdering the unborn. That is sinful to support that. I'm not saying it's right to support the Republican Party, but at least I wouldn't vote Republican, but voting Democrat is voting for a party. The mainstream of the Democrat Party does not believe in banning abortion, basically does not believe in the sanctity of human life. And there's many other things as well, but it's the easiest place to illustrate. It kind of confuses me. I can understand why a Christian, it won't be the same convictions as myself, I've gone through that in other programs. I come from the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland. There's the America, there's the RPCNA, the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America. In Scotland, there's also some congregations up there which are Reformed Presbyterian as well. Covenanters is another title, which really, really simply, we believe in the kingship of Christ over, well, everything, and that would include the nation. So in order to vote for somebody, they would have to bow the knee to Christ. And so his comments are perplexing, shall we say, and not really based on reality at all. When people are kind of, is there a level of pragmatism towards voting for certain Democrats and all this kind of stuff, voting for Trump and all this kind of stuff? Yeah, sure, of course there is. But how much more so is it for voting for someone like Hillary Clinton, who believes in late-term abortion? She was asked about it. I think I did a vlog about it a couple of months before the vote. Her her daughter, Chelsea Clinton, said a few weeks ago, and this was kind of, I don't know, would you say big news a couple of weeks ago? I think she was on Sirius FM. And she said that it's unchristian. I can't remember the exact wording, but unchristian to be against abortion. Unchristian to be against abortion. That is the Democrat Party. And you get people like, I don't know, Ben Shapiro on the Daily Wire or something like that to explain even more so how immoral and how disgusting and how abhorrent the Democrat Party is. You don't like the Republicans too? Fine. But towards the blue half, yeah, no, not morally neutral in any way, shape, or form. It's sinful and wrong to support that.
It's like there are churches that are sort of lining up and become more extensions of a particular political party than they are really looking at what the Word of God says. Because,
and look, when that happens, and you're right, and this kind of stuff happens in Northern Ireland too, by the way. Uh-huh. There's certain, let's just, you know, state, you know, he's talking about various churches in America, basically outposts of the Republican Party. Yeah, you probably, I know somebody like John Hagee or something like that. He's got weird theology anyway, but, and various liberal churches, which are, you know, very, especially in the black community, very pro-Democrat and very much, very political. And over here in Northern Ireland, you've got various, would you say some free Presbyterian churches very much opposed to the DUP and very much very kind of pragmatic politics, not Christian. Now, I know there are some Christians, don't get me wrong, there are some Christians within that party, but it becomes very pragmatic, very fast. And it's no surprise why there's compromise. Should we abhor that when that happens? Yeah, true. But it still doesn't allow us to read into the statements of the statement on social justice and the gospel.
I actually do think that if you really take a look at, there's a lot of things the Bible says about sex and gender that really come out pretty sounding politically today, conservative. And a lot of things the Bible says about race and justice and the poor that today come out sounding extremely liberal. And they're...
What? I can only imagine that he's thinking that when the Bible says, you know, blessed are the poor, words like that, you know, when it doesn't say poor in spirit, it's not talking about the economically poor. It can be at times, but it's not talking about redistribution of wealth. Yes, be kind. Yes, help people where you can. But I don't have time to get into it here, but there's nothing kind, there's nothing altruistic about socialism. Socialism often gets supported by people who want to other things belonging to other people. Just because a society is capitalist doesn't mean it might not be incredibly generous towards, and of their own choice, they choose to give to other people rather than just the government taxing them to death and taking them off them. And oh well, how loving and wonderful is our society? You know, the more socialist it becomes. But anyway, it doesn't work like that. But we've gone through that in other programs.
The church has to, I admit, at the very end of my talk, I try to say the churches cannot identify so completely with one party, and I think that's what this thing ends up to. It's not so much what it says, it's what it does. It's trying to marginalize people who are talking about race and justice. It's trying to say you're really not biblical.
It's trying to marginalize people who are talking about race. Just want to go back over. I'm trying really hard here not to misrepresent what he's saying.
It's not so much what it says, it's what it does.
He's saying it's not what it says. So obviously, you know, if you say that, you're basically saying it's okay what it says, it's just what it does. That is not biblical what he's doing. I have to just kind of go what he's saying here, and I'm trying it best as possible.
I think that's what this thing ends up to. It's not so much what it says, it's what it does.
So I'm sure that there's some places he does, it's not so much what it says, but what it does. What does it do? Oh, it makes people feel like they're being condemned, or they're being triggered, or they're being oppressed? What? Because they're wrong. How about the Westminster Confession of Faith? Does that marginalize people who are trying to, I emphasize believers' baptism, just giving an example? No, it disagrees with that. Can we deal with the theology behind it? No. We need to include everybody. We need to make everybody feel. But it's all about feelings, emotions, psychology, this kind of victim status. Don't make people feel excluded because then they'll be oppressed. The kind of unity we need and need to strive for in the body of Christ is not this kind of unity that I would describe as we're all in a room and we just tolerate each other. We don't really talk. We just tolerate each other. We don't really agree with each other. We just don't talk about certain things. It's like, you know, the family that gets together and just don't talk about religion and politics and something like that. And that's not real unity. I think that's often why you have to get a church that, you know, fills itself with so much entertainment just to distract itself by how much they disagree with each other on the issues which they claim to be uniting around. Let's distract ourselves. Let's not talk about the gospel issues like atonement, election, all these kind of things. No, don't talk about those things. I'm not saying that's what Tim Keller's saying, but I'm just giving you an illustration of how this can play out in other situations. What's the responsibility of the faithful minister and pastor? Lovingly sharing the truth, because the truth, so that the truth will bless people, cause people to repent and believe the gospel, expose error, shining a light in a dark place. But if you're saying this, if you're following Tim Keller's example, you can't really do that. Because you're excluding people. You're marginalizing people. And that's really concerning. Because for example, our denomination does not allow people who are members of the Orange Order to join, or any secret society for that matter, to join. And they'll say, no, well, how about people with the just part of the regalia? No. We say you cannot be a member of this church if you are in a secret society. Why? Because it is contrary to Christian. It's not godly to be in a secret society. And obviously there's all this kind of stuff that's in Masonry. But I know the Orange Order is kind of like a lot more quote-unquote Christian and all this kind of stuff. But those kind of society, they're dangerous. Don't know the historical background of all that kind of stuff, but I praise the Lord for the stand our denomination has made. I don't know how long it's been making it, but praise the Lord for that. I mean, but you could then say, turn around, well, you're marginalizing that person. But you could use the same logic for the LGBT community when you state what the Bible says about any of those issues. Oh no, it's not what it says. It's not so much what it says, but what it does. It marginalizing those gay Christians. Hey, and I'm not saying that that's what he's saying, but the exact same logic could be used. Plus, it's also dangerous to attribute motives and anything else. We should take what people say as face value. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Especially, we should do it to anybody, but especially those within the church.
It's trying to marginalize people who are talking about race and justice. It's trying to say you're really not biblical.
And John MacArthur, you should listen to his, I don't know, it's a four-part sermon series, and he's dealing with Ezekiel 18 and stuff like that. He acknowledges there's real victims. There's real people who suffer. But what he's preaching against is this victim culture. There are genuine victims, and they need to be supported. But it just can't be this theology of victim status, this intersectionality, you know, the person with the most, you know, things been done to them. That's what we need to focus on. and blame others for our lot in life. We deserve better and all this kind of stuff. Ultimately, it's not about marginalizing people. It's about helping people. The truth, when believed, it shall set you free.
Not fair in that sense. So that's the reason why if somebody starts to go down it with me and say, would you agree with this? Would you agree with this? I would say, you're looking at the level of what it says and not at the level of what it's doing.
What does that mean? It just sounds so postmodern. You're looking at what level of what it says. Well, what else are you supposed to judge it on? How are you supposed to... How do you know what it's doing? So you're saying you don't have a problem with what it says, but are you saying the truth is harmful? Are you saying the truth is harmful?
And I think what it's trying to do is it's really trying to say, don't make this emphasis. Don't worry about the poor. Don't care about the injustice. It's not really that important. That's what it's...
Oh, I know what you're saying, but what you're really saying is this. That is wicked, that is sinful, and that is wrong, and that is slander. That is slander. That is wicked. And you don't care about the poor. No, it's against social justice, which says we deserve a certain level of stuff, of other people's stuff. And you want the government to impose regulations. Now, it doesn't go into this in the statement of social justice and the gospel. But this is part of critical race theory, intersectionality, well, feminism to a certain degree, and all this kind of stuff. Matthew Vines could probably say the same thing about the Christian churches who don't allow LGBT people to be members of the church. Oh, you just don't care about those people. That is not true. It would be unloving and sinful for a church to allow somebody who doesn't have a clear, credible profession of faith to join the membership. Why? Because it is a deception. Because if they're clearly not Christians, we don't know. There's times when, okay, the person has a credible profession of faith, they can join. We don't know the heart of the person. However, if it's clear they do not understand the gospel, it is an injustice to allow them to join. Now, what could that person say? Well, I'm being marginalized. You don't care about me. You don't care about the LGBT community. No, we care enough about them to insult them. In order that you'll see that there's something wrong. God barred Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden and barred them from access to the tree of life so that they wouldn't think everything's okay, that we still have access to life. Now, things have changed in the case of Adam and Eve. But in the case of the LGBT community or somebody who's a drunkard or an idolater, an adulteress or adulterer, whoever else, somebody who does not have a clear profession of faith, doesn't understand the gospel or whatever else it is not loving in order to let them. You basically, the truth, you give someone the truth and the truth may hurt somebody. You may, if you're a doctor, you may have to tell your patient they have cancer. That is the truth, but that truth may hurt them deeply. But if you hold that truth back, you learn that the person has cancer, but you don't want to tell them because you don't want to ruin their day and you want them to be all happy and smiling when they walk out of your office. That's horrible. That is hateful. You would be struck off. You would be probably, I don't know what they exactly do with doctors. Medical malpractice like that. The job of the ministers or those who preach God's word is to tell the truth. Do so lovingly, obviously realizing all of sin and fall short of the glory of God, obviously to explain the doctrine is not like a bull in a china shop, but at the same time to do share the truth. So you say you're looking on the level of what it's saying and not what it's doing. And again and again and again. What kind of conclusion can you come to? That are you seeing? Are you saying, I'm not saying he's saying this, but are you saying, Timothy Keller, that the truth is harmful? The truth is not what these people need. If you have a problem with the document, come with scripture. Show the scripture and say, here's where it is not consistent. No, no, no. We're not going to do that. We're going to say you don't care about the poor and we're going to ad hominem. And when you go in ad hominem, generally when people go for an ad hominem and go after a person's character, rather than dealing with their argument initially, it is because they know they don't have any arguments. Go straight for, oh, that person doesn't know what he's talking about. And it's really, and especially when you see the people who, I don't know exactly who was initially involved with it. I know the initial signers, people like John MacArthur and Phil Johnson, other people like that. People who've served the Lord for decades. And just to say, well, no, no, you just don't care about the poor. What? Show me. Show me in this document where it says, well, somebody's poor, don't treat them with dignity and respect. It says in Maggio Dei, in chapter 2, we affirm that God created every person equal in his own image. As divine image bearers, all people have inestimable value and dignity before God and deserve honor, respect, and protection. Everyone has been created by God and for God. How does that say that you don't care about the poor? Everybody. This is the way the Democrats argue, by the way. And it is unbecoming of a Christian minister to speak in such a manner.
Even if I can agree with most of it, I don't like it. So that's what I mean by saying. It's what it's doing that I don't like.
Okay, attributing motive and it's sinful and wrong. What should we do? We should give the benefit of the doubt. Just say you read something, brethren, and you don't agree with it, and you don't exactly know how to argue, don't attribute motive. There's times when we disagree with people, we may criticize what they do, but we don't say, well, here's what they're really doing. How do you know that? How do you know that their heart is saying that? That is their intention. Deal with what they wrote, critique that, and that's it. Anything else, it's slander. It's gossip. That's how gossip starts in churches. Oh, yeah. She said hi, but did you see the way she said it? Mm-hmm. Oh, when she saw me, this person, they had this kind of expression on their face. We should think better of other people than we do of ourselves. We would want other people in such any situation to give us the benefit of doubt. On Twitter, there might be times that he's misunderstood, and I'm sure he would like if people would give him the benefit of doubt. Now, he said some really, really odd things, shall we say, on Twitter that are not theologically correct. But he feels, oh, I'm being misunderstood. But what does he do here? And it's just sad. It's just really sad to see that. Anyway, so that's that part of the program. The next part of the program, we're going to look at John MacArthur going to speak at... I almost like kind of, why do we have to deal with this? Why do we have to deal with this? Why? Because people don't check things. There's a lot of websites that are just... I don't know if this is new, or maybe I'm just noticing it now. I have no idea. John MacArthur is speaking at a N or B. Never heard of him before, by the way. So, but I'll be honest, when I saw this initially, this is the Proclaim 19. Oh, I don't know what you call it. Conference? NRB, International Christian Media Convention. It's a convention, no, it's not a conference. I think it's important we kind of know what is going on. It's a convention, 4-day event that connects, equips, and edifies thousands of Christian communicators. So this is a media thing. You know, when you go to those conventions, and, you know, sometimes people will go to job conventions, and there's different things going on. And then you look at the speakers, and then, there's certain ministries that are just like, I don't know, they're just waiting, they've just, anything to do with grace to you, they just go after and target, and it's popular. That's a scary thing. It's popular. Strife is popular, as the Word of God says. He loveth transgression that loveth strife. That's Proverbs 17, verse 19. And he that exalted his gate seeketh destruction. Proverbs 16:28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. What's another name for a whisperer? Murmurers, backbiters, slanderers, talebearers. Unfortunately, this is the kind of stuff, brethren, that separates and causes splits and divisions. And when you get two groups of people in churches that hate each other's guts and all this kind of stuff, this is where it starts. Rumors. The tongue. An unruly, untamable tongue. Does any organ in your body that you should be careful with? It is your tongue. Anyway, so getting on to the NRB thing. So initially, you just look and go, yeah, I scanned it a couple of days ago, and I was like, kind of going, looked so weird. You know, you just see speakers, there's this convention, you have Greg Laurie, not a fan. John MacArthur, a fan, I don't read some of his books. Like listening to his sermons from time to time, as I do a lot of different people. I try to listen to a lot of different people. And I don't like just... I've never really liked just listening to one person all the time. Although the Grace to You app is really, really good, so I tend to go there. And their audio, a bit of an audio files, and I don't know, they tend to record their audio messages really, really well. If you ever go on sermon audio, it can really be a bit of a put-off if you go on a church website or a church and then you can barely hear the message. So, Grace to You, Ligonier, and all these kind of groups, they have really good audio, so it tends to make me want to listen more. But I digress. Anyway, so you look at the speakers. You're speaking at this nrbconvention.org. That's the website for this thing that's going on next March 2019. If you just look at the speakers alone, it's understandable if somebody would kind of go, oh, what's going on here? You got Greg Laurie, Rick Warren, you know, the purpose-driven church, pragmatism, ecumenism, sees the Pope as a brother, all this kind of stuff. Ooh, I don't know about this. There's Joni Erickson Tada. I don't know exactly much about her, I'll be honest. The only other names I recognize, well, Charles Stanley I recognize. I don't know how, I've never followed much of what he's doing or anything like that. There's Alec Kendrick, who would be part of that. I think it's called a firm. They would have done those Christian movies like Fireproof. I think everybody's seen Fireproof at some stage. They kind of went a bit, I think Fireproof was the last good movie from that studios, and it kind of went a bit ecumenical after that. There was more involvement of Roman Catholics, and I kind of dealt with that years ago. That was about, 6 years ago. It was a little bit disappointing that that happened, but still, I can't remember. I haven't seen Fireproof in years, but I think I've cried at the end of that movie, a couple of times at the end of it. So, anyway. So, Alex Kendrick, so he's a... He's known for a lot of the movies, and they've gotten really big and through that. And then there's really concerning ones like Mark Burnett and Roma Downey, who did that Bible series, and there's some Bible movie that it did and had some weird doctrines in it, and I think they're both Roman Catholic. Anyway, so you look at that and go, whoa, this is ecumenical. And it would be if they were sharing a platform together and it was some kind of a Bible conference. However, it's not a Bible conference. And brother-in-law Cecil Andrews, who is the, I don't know what his exact title of, but he runs Take Heed Ministries, and he's generally speaks around Northern Ireland. It also goes to the States as well. I think he does debates every now and again. He contacted Phil Johnson, and this was Phil's response to this. The annual NRB convention is a trade show for religious broadcasters, not a Bible conference. NRB provides broadcasters like Grace to You with essential information about pending legislation, government regulations, technological advances, and similar matters important to religious media providers. The organization is a guild of broadcasters with similar legal and practical concerns, not a spiritual fraternity pushing a doctrinal agenda. GTY has benefited from membership of NRB for decades. So this isn't a new thing. They've been with them for decades and decades. All right. The 2019 NRB convention. Now, notice how it's a convention. I'm going to talk a little bit more, but I know there's tender-hearted people out there who just seem to, it's just bad news about, and I don't want to be kind of down on everybody who kind of was concerned about this. There's the people who are, concerned. Let's just face it, there's a lot of bad news coming out of different people. Maybe it's because of the internet, I don't know. That people are like, oh no, not John too. So, I mean, always try to give the benefit of the doubt. Don't jump to conclusions. I remember looking at this a couple of days ago, and I was a bit like, concerned, but I just said, okay, maybe there's an explanation to it. Turns out that there is. So it says the NRB convention is scheduled for California next March. That's 1 month after John MacArthur's 50th anniversary as a pastor of Grace Community Church. It's also the 50th anniversary of GTY, a rare milestone for Christian broadcasters. True. John has... that's amazing. Actually, 50 years. Wow. John was asked to preach the sermon in the special midweek's worship service at NRB. He will not be sharing the platform or partnering with other broadcasters featured in NRB's advertising. He will, however, use the opportunity to bring the Word of God to bear against popular brands of evangelical excess and heresy that undermine gospel truth, and he has done every time he's spoken at NRB. Look, I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago, there was Together 2016, and I don't know how I initially dealt with it. I'd have to go back in the archives. This is like, I tried to hold back a lot of my comments until after the conference had happened, and I dealt with most of my critique when I went, I was on, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio years ago, and we were talking about what went on. But that was after the fact. We were dealing with, they were sharing a platform together, it was on the same stage. There was clearly this kind of unifying, recognizing each other as brothers, all this kind of stuff going on. That was, trying to give a difference here. That was Theater 2016, which I'm firmly against. And now, this, on the other hand, is, well, it's completely different. Though there is one worship service. The exact details of the entire thing are not released yet, or at least not that I can see. It's March 28th. It is a worship service. But it's, look, if you look through the schedule of this entire event, there's all sorts of things going on. International reception, IRB boot camp, first timers orientation, super session. There's only one worship service. Film Pitchathon. This is a complete mishmash. All sorts of things. This is just Media Expo. Da, da, da. If somebody gives you a platform, right, in a convention, and says to you, will you preach the gospel No, I want the critics to think about this. I want you to preach the gospel. Now, you might say, oh, please don't put my face next to Rick Warren. And that would be fair enough. And actually, maybe, meh. Oh, unfortunately, people jump to conclusions no matter what you do these days. But anyway, there's one worship service in the middle. Now, if at the worship service, John MacArthur is joined by Rick Warren and all these other people, well, then we have a problem, okay? But there's no... I mean, that's like saying, you know, what if you had a panel discussion, which John MacArthur did years ago. Remember, you know, you have a panel discussion, you have a Roman Catholic, or a Jewish rabbi, and then you have a Christian pastor explaining the gospel. No, don't go there. You might appear that you're agreeing with everybody. The context is very important, but unfortunately, with a lot of... They think that this is like some great groundbreaking research because all they do is link to a website and say, John MacArthur is speaking with... According to the information we have right now, there is no reason to be in any way alarmed at all. There's one worship service. He's the only person preaching. He's probably presiding over the whole thing. He's probably picking the hymns, the whole lot. Now, you say, well, where does Rick Warren and all these other people that we're not fans of? There's a Roma Downey. Mark Burnett and Roma Downey, producers Lightworkers Media. Well, I imagine there's a number of things they could be involved in. You know, super session, opening session, you know, there's an award ceremony. A dinner, that's by invitation only. A film pitch-a-thon, and I'm sure they're involved in that. But there are people who are involved in media organizations, and they might have a slot. All sorts of Christian media, by the way, do this. They're on a network of some kind, and that network puts out their program or whatever else. Does that mean they are partnering with those are the people on that same network? Or if you're, just say you're putting out a program and you can get it on, just say this, I don't know, right? Actually, I think it happened in, I don't know how they exactly broadcast it, but they're on some frequency, some FM frequency down where I used to live, Dundalk, and Heart of the Matter was the Christian church down there, and they put out a program, and I think it was probably, I don't know, I don't know how exactly it was, if it was in a Christian one, but if you have the opportunity to put Christian material in the middle of that, and you're not running that, how are you partnering with that? I mean, you'd have to take yourself out of the world. Anyway, So we have to take... Anyway, even on the NRB's website, it says John MacArthur to speak at Proclaim 19 Convention Worship Service. So according to this, that's all he's involved in. The worship service will take place on March 28, 2019. We're honored to have John MacArthur speak at Proclaim 19, said Dr. John A. Johnson, President and CEO of NRB. And because this is a... Look, what's a convention? Break it down for people. If you look at pictures of conventions, there's all sorts of things going on all over the place. And there's always at conventions all sorts of things kind of going on. All sorts of... I mean, if you're a publisher and say, hey, you can go to this convention. You mean the most conservative one out there. And you say, you can set up a boot there. And actually, and we're going to go up to you and ask you a couple of questions where you can share your stuff. Who's going to say no to that? Is there any reason to say no to that? You're not part... Are you serious that it's partnering with people? Oh, my word. Anyway. So, it says, the NRB Exposition... This is on their website as well. Is a largest marketplace dedicated... It's a big marketplace. dedicated to Christian media professionals. This award-winning exposition is alive with resources to help expand and enhance your media efforts. Whether you are a broadcaster, media pastor, program producer, film producer, just a complete webmaster, social media engineer, blogger, podcaster, author, publisher, or other communications professional, the breadth and depth of the exhibit hall provide the resources you are looking for. It's all sorts of stuff. This is what NRB does. And they say, you know, do you want to sponsor an event? Promote your organization? It's just a bit of everything. They're a media organization. Now, if you're running NRB and you're allowing, the responsibility then is the responsibility then on, you know, NRB to be, I don't know, should it be promoting Rick Warren? No. Should it be promoting the Downies or whatever? No. Okay. However, if somebody gives you, I don't know, it could be like a chapter in a book, but they allow you to share the truth in that book, or what, or in the news cycle or whatever else, are you going to say no because it's not Christian or something like that? Now, it depends on the situation. If the program is not done in a certain way, maybe the guy's cursing every 5 minutes and all that, well, it's the word of God's trampled underfoot. But here's the thing. John MacArthur gets to hold a worship service right in the middle of this, and I'm sure he seems to be involved and in control, quote-unquote, I don't know how exactly it's run, but over all of it, he can call out these things, and he's not on the podium with these people, nor is he partnering with them in any shape or form. But look, people can make mistakes in these areas, and ministries can make mistakes, and how they maybe go off the handle and critique things too quickly and go, oh, and overzealousness. I hope they'll reconsider. However, there are those who constantly are trying to dig up dirt. And is all the way from the guys who dig up dirt and are like professionals at it and feed on it. And I can think of one or a few actually YouTube channels, well, there's probably more than that, who are particularly guilty in this area, who are just there to sow strife and division. Mark them and avoid them. It is satanic to be accuser of the brethren, to be trying to dig up dirt, to be trying to... This is what the devil does. This is what the devil does. Talks about in Revelation chapter 12. It's verse 10. The accuser of the brethren is cast down. The accuser of the brethren. That's what they call it. That's what the book of Revelation called Satan. Mark them and avoid them. Now, and then there's other people, sincere, but sloppy. Just be careful. I remember this person wasn't a Christian, but I remember this was a celebrity, said the problem with the media nowadays is it's not about being true, it's about being first. And unfortunately, Christian websites, we've fallen guilty of that. We want to be first. We don't want to be factually accurate anymore. We want to be first with the latest juicy gossip. Do you see how if you're involved in that, you're involved in grievous sin and you need to repent? This is serious. This is the kind of stuff that divides, splits churches, splits families, splits all sorts, friendships. Do you want to be responsible for that? Do you realize this gossip mill that has been drummed up about Grace to you, the kind of damage it can play in Grace Community Church? I don't know. I have no idea, by the way. I hope by God's grace that the people in that church know and have the good sense not to listen to the nonsense on some websites on the internet. But what if there are some? What if they gain a faction? And what if they, in their whispering and backbiting, maybe they get somebody on their side in authority? Who is responsible? Who lit that match? Who lit that fire? Is it your tongue? You've got to think about, when you put things on the internet, other websites, you could be responsible for untold damage. It's one of the things as this program's gone on more and more over the years, I have to think about. Before, when I used to do programs years ago, I would just think, here's information, plug it in, record. But now I'm not thinking that way as much anymore. And look, if I sinned in these areas in the past, forgive me. And look, hey, people want to send it to me. You know, like, you said this years ago. Well, I'll point it out and I'll retract it. I mean, can you think about, think before you speak? If you're not sure, you look at this, I don't know what's going on, leave it alone. And I'll be honest, I've been aware of this for about a week. I don't know, whenever it came out. I know the guy who, I don't know him personally, but I know of the, you know, usual suspects who bring out this stuff first and they do the same thing and they secretly record messages and all this kind of stuff, and it's not pretty. But you're involved in their sin if you're supporting them. And there's a lot of people. And can you imagine, this is how there's these ugly factions in churches. How can, look, this might be depressing and all this kind of stuff. How can you be a blessing in your church? We can be guilty of this in a microcosm in our own church. Do we speak positively about other believers? Do we talk down about them? Or do we try and encourage them? I'll give you an example. Just say you're in a church and you could complain about, I don't know, maybe the message you didn't particularly like. Are you going to complain about it? Or maybe point out or try and encourage a believer, point out what sort of things are true, what sort of things are lovely, what sort of things are just. Try and encourage the elders in your church. Or are you going to fixate on, I don't know, he was preaching a little too long there. I don't know. He's not as interesting anymore. I was listening to this guy on the internet, and he's a lot more interesting to listen to. And you can start complaining and not realize how blessed you are. If you're in a Christian church that's within the visible church now, I'm talking about an invisible church that preaches the gospel, it may have things wrong. And you know, no, not may, actually, you will have things wrong with your church. There are no perfect churches, of course. Are you thankful? Are you thinking about all the great things you have in your church? Not that your church is perfect. Don't make an idol out of your church. That it's the only final bastion of orthodoxy out on planet Earth. Because I tell you, that will cause division between you because of pride and other people. And you can get quite cultish in your view. But that you're thankful that your minister preaches the gospel. You're thankful that you've got Christians around you to encourage you to iron sharpens iron. Pray it's been a blessing to you. Any suggestions for programs or anything else, miguelofilms@gmail.com. This has been Paul Flynn. Thank you so much for tuning in.